Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Todd McShay from The Ringer, as well as the McShay Report. Todd, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here. What's going on, folks?
All just getting ready for this draft. And, you know, we're hearing so much about Travis Hunter. We're hearing a lot about Shedeur Sanders. We were hearing a lot about Shedeur Sanders. Yesterday, Lima and I had a conversation. Should we just take him off the board and end the conversation now because the Browns aren't going to take Shedeur Sanders at number two? Is that conversation about Shedeur Sanders at two dead, Todd?
I believe it is. Now, doesn't mean that the hope for Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland is dead, but I think at pick number two, listen, Andrew Berry, the general manager, is notorious within league circles of kind of getting disinformation out. And when you get Schefter on his heels, right, it means you're doing something right. And he's kind of flip-flopped a few times on this. And Adam's a great friend, and he would laugh about it too. But just talking to people in the league who, you know, have conversations and in and around the organization, and I get this strong sense they're leaning Travis Hunter with that pick. And it makes sense from a football standpoint. There are two blue players, if you will, like blue chip, top tier, whatever you want to call it, in this draft, and that's Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. And so if you have a significantly higher grade on those two players, and some teams, Ashton Jeanty, the running back, is up there, Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, but they're not at premium positions. So if you've got two players that are in that top tier at premium positions, it becomes hard to pass on them, even for a quarterback. And if you just go off a league consensus, and I don't think that that's the smartest thing to do necessarily, but most people have Shedeur kind of in that mid, later first round range. And so you got to take advantage of drafting this high. If there's an opportunity to get a potentially elite player, you've got to take advantage of that opportunity. And I think that's how Cleveland's viewing it. Now, let's look back in the last week or so, and in the upcoming days, talking about, you know, they obviously Cam Ward is off the table, but they had private workouts with Ward, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, Jalen Milroe, and Tyler Shuck. That tells me that the Cleveland Browns have every intention of waiting for an opportunity at the right spot to either go up and get one or to sit there at 33 and take one that falls in their lap. The interesting part, though, to me is, like, I don't know if you guys have ever learned, like, that Harvard Sports Analysis Collective, right? They come up with a calculation every year based on the value of picks. And Cleveland has the most value in terms of their draft picks this year with all the picks that they have, 5 in the top 104 overall. I just think with that kind of compensation value, also being able to dip into next year, that they're going to sit there and wait. I don't think Shedeur Sanders goes 3 to the Giants. I don't think Shedeur Sanders goes 6 to the Raiders or 7 to the New York Jets. And I also feel strongly that if the Saints go quarterback, it's going to be Jackson Dart. When you look at the history of Kellen Moore with Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Dart is more that player. Shador is a precision passing, fast processing, accurate thrower of the football. He fits what Stefanski has won with, guys. So I could see them waiting, and if Shador gets past nine, then it becomes a kind of a compensation, a cost analysis type deal where it's like, if we don't want to trade up to 10 because we might as well have just taken him at two if we like him that much. If you get down to 15 and Atlanta only has five picks in this entire draft and may want to move back, if we can get ahead of Pittsburgh at 21, somewhere in that like 15 to 20 range is where I think you could see Cleveland move up and go get Shador if that's the quarterback they're looking to move up for. Maybe it's Milrow at 33. Maybe it's Tyler Shuck at 33. We'll wait and see. But I won't be surprised at all. In fact, I would call it a probability that when we're on pick 34, that the Cleveland Browns have selected Travis Hunter and a quarterback.
Let me ask you this, Todd. I mean, you know this as well as anybody. Say that they're at pick number 19 and the Browns want to move in. Does the cost-benefit help the Browns? Because I don't know what they have to give up, courtesy of the draft chart, right off the top of my head. But it's like, okay, you move up from 33, you move to 19, or 15 to 19, somewhere in there. You give up the other picks. Does it make sense to them? Because they could go, well, we could draft this impact quarterback here, or we could stick where we're at and then later on take players that we don't know are going to make our roster.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I kind of did that cost analysis yesterday. And there's no – when teams know you're moving up for a quarterback, you're probably going to have to pay a little bit more, right? I went back and looked and picked 27. The Chiefs moved up to 10 for Mahomes. That cost them a third that year and a first the next year. But picking in the top 10, if you even go off the trade value chart, which absolutely is dated, but it does give a little bit of a sense. And it's like 3,000 points for the first pick. And then by the time you get down to pick 10, you're still like, I want to say like 1,200, 1,300. Mm-hmm. But it really, when you get to like 11 and beyond, it becomes reasonable. I gave a fair value trade when I had Cleveland moving up in my mock draft. I gave a fair value trade, what I thought was at least, of their third round pick this year. Cleveland would, obviously Atlanta would move down to 33. They'd swap those picks. And then Atlanta picks up their 67th pick, their first of two third-round draft choices this year, and then a second-rounder next year. If you go a lot high, if you go closer to 10, you're now probably going to have to part ways with next year's one. And then the question that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have to ask themselves is, if we're willing to give up next year's one, and we're probably going to bring in Kirk Cousins, and we're probably not going to play this quarterback as a rookie. If we like him that much, why wouldn't we just take him at two? And I don't want to part ways with next year's one, because then let's package some picks and move up in next year's first round and get a quarterback that maybe is rated higher. So it's kind of that juggling act of what's the value. Like I said, I think around like 14 through 20. In that range, you can get away with moving up, giving away something on day two of the draft this year, and not having to give away a first-round pick next year.
Todd McShay, hammering down big-time trades and everything. You have thought this out. Of course, you get your draft pass with McShay, $4. You can check it out right now on McShay's report. We're going to put it all over our social media. So, Todd, value is something I'm always curious about, and you've been talking a lot about it. So, what happened if, let's say, the Browns had Shador ahead of Jackson Dart, but not so far ahead, where later on they would just sit there and either wait or trade into the end of the first round? The situation like that to get Jackson Dart when they thought all along Shador is the better quarterback. How many teams traditionally put that over, you know, their ultimate goals?
I mean, you go through this whole process, right? And your scouts start, I mean, they're starting now in some organizations on next year's group. And really, they started last May on a handful of the guys that could potentially have come out. And with NIL and the transfer portal now, you wind up doing like twice as many players per school than compared to what you once did. And so the reason I mention that is, like, it's about 2 years of work on these guys. But then you find it interesting at the very end, teams are, I don't want to call it scrambling, but like there's a lot of private jets and a lot of people, a lot of, you know, high profile players sitting in first class flying all around the country this time of year. And we're talking 13 days out of the draft or 14 days away from the draft, right? And you still have private workouts going on. So they want just one last opportunity to work with these guys, provide installs, see how they learn, see how they throw the ball in their concepts, and just kind of get that one final opportunity, you know? And so while you have all this, like, two-year span leading up, it's always fascinating. Like, even last year with Bo Nix, Sean Payton, it was like, the pro day workout was like 17 throws in or whatever the number was. I decided this is my guy. And so you just never know, like, who's the decision maker, where are they in the process. I find that part fascinating. But to answer your question, I spent a lot of time on this and made a lot of phone calls the last couple of days. Like, if I was going to set the odds right now, I'd say it's at least 50-50, maybe tilted a little bit in Jackson Dart's direction in terms of the odds of which quarterback comes off the board number two in the quarterback ranks this year. I think if there's going to be a quarterback that starts the fall when we get past pick number nine, it's more likely it's – now, both of them could. New Orleans could just pass on quarterback at nine. But if I think Dart's got a much better shot of going in the top 10 right now, the way I see it, than maybe Shador does. So, yeah, you've got to make a decision. You got to make a decision which guy you like more. And when you make that decision, no team goes in like, well, we like this guy. It's not like a wide receiver group in the second round. Like, it's a quarterback. And so you know which guy you want to work with, which guy you believe in. I think Stefanski, given his history with precision, fast processing, accurate quarterbacks, I think that he's got a little bit of a tug towards Shador, but I don't know that, right? And then you hear about kind of the love with Jalen Milroe, and he's the complete opposite. I mean, strong arm, beautiful deep ball, 4.39 speed, great mobility, not there as a processor at all, not there in terms of his accuracy, muscled up. He's like the opposite of Shador. But apparently there's some love in the building for Milroe. So I can't wait. Like, it's going to be fascinating. I never would have thought this class, as everyone's comparing back in September and October to, like, the Kenny Pickett year, that there's the potential for four first-round quarterbacks. But with Milroe showing up in Green Bay and accepting that invite, it tells me that there are people in the league aren't going to put him up there in that green room to be embarrassed on purpose. There's some indication that he could go in the first round, and that part of it kind of fascinates me too, because I have him as the fifth best quarterback behind Tyler Shuck and the other guys we just mentioned.
Todd McShay joining us from the McShay Report. You can get the draft pass now, $4. Subscribe now. You hear him on the Ringer as well. Todd, where is Travis Hunter better used at, offense or defense?
I do think it can kind of line up by team. Okay. I know this. Talking to people in the league, right? The majority vote would be, and it's just a football thing. Like, if you've been in the building and you go through a practice week and you know, like, the kind of inner workings in the day-to-day, with the amount of communication and the different schemes and coverages and how complex NFL defenses are, you're really, if he's going to play both sides, and I truly believe he is, I think he's going to be the first of his kind. If he's going to play both sides, you would prefer, from like a 30,000 view, right, that he is in that cornerback room during the week, more so than a wide receiver. The problem is, if I'm drafting him at two, and he's got the best ball skills of any receiver in this class in maybe the last 5 years, and he's so damn dynamic as a runner after the catch, and I have an offense that I'd love, I know my defense is good, and I've got an offense that needs a shot in the arm, how do I not play him at wide receiver? And how do I not develop him and get his routes polished and get him, you know, where he can focus and really become the best possible version of himself on the offensive side? So I can't wait to see, A, where he lands, and if it is in Cleveland, how they utilize him. But I do think in Cleveland, and I would have said, like, more so, even more so with, like, a team like New England, but I think in Cleveland there will be a bigger emphasis on wide receiver than maybe some other organizations. And I think it's the right thing. It's funny because all the talk was he's a corner, then maybe we'll give him, you know, let him moonlight a little at wide receiver. When I was done with all my tape study on him, like, I think this guy's a little bit better at wide receiver right now, maybe a little bit more polished. Maybe a little bit more ready to step in right away and make a bigger impact on the offensive side. And if Cleveland sees it the same way and he's their pick at number two, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw a lot of Travis Hunter on offense for the Browns.
Yeah, Todd, so it's such a fascinating guy to try to evaluate and project. And I just want to know, just for expectation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Just for those reasons, like how dynamic a wide receiver are we talking? Would you have had him in the same grouping as Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr. last year, Jamar Chase? Like, where would you have him in relation to those guys?
That's a great question. When I finished my grade, I graded him separately at both positions and then had to give him a combined grade, which obviously elevated that grade. Specifically as a wide receiver, I had him one, like, tiny tick behind Neighbor. I had Neighbors rated. I had the same grade on Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr. last year. Neighbors I would have taken ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. But it was so close. And I would have him just below those two, but ahead of Brian Thomas and Roma Dunze and all that. I honestly, watching him, when you think of the best of Garrett Wilson, the ball skills, the run after catch, the silky smooth, the lightning quick feet, I see a lot of Garrett Wilson in him. And obviously the Jets just had all sorts of struggles and with Aaron Rodgers and the incompetent offense and Devontae Adams. But when you think about like what Garrett Wilson was early in his career and what he's going to be moving forward, I think he can be that. And that's a damn good football player, man. Like that is a major impact player, number one receiver in the league.
Todd, Will Howard had his college season and career ended after the Michigan game. Where would we be talking about him? And where are we realistically talking about him now?
I think, honestly, with Will Howard, I think that he's going to wind up being a third round pick is my guess. In the first two rounds, you're drafting a player that you really truly believe is going to be a starter for you. In the third round, and it's different at different positions, but in the third round, you're expecting him to be a starter pretty soon at all other positions. But you're comfortable at quarterback that he's going to be a really good backup, is going to help upgrade the quarterback room. And eventually he develops into a starter is the hope. But at worst case, he comes in and he can win some games when he's called upon as a backup. I did not think all that highly of Will Howard until the college football playoff run. And I shouldn't. My evaluation of him changed when they opened things up and Chip Kelly kind of handed him the keys to that Ferrari that he was operating. And it was a Ferrari, and you got to kind of keep that in consideration. The offensive line was juggled, but he had pretty good protection compared to some of these other quarterbacks. He had phenomenal, obviously, wide receiver talent. But I saw a guy who had the answers pre-snap. Like, more so than any other quarterback in this class. He knew exactly what he was looking for, identified it. So when the ball was snapped, he was the most decisive quarterback when the ball was snapped. He just, like, he knew the answer. Chip and he worked it out during the week. When he saw his indicator, it was just get the ball out and do it with precision. Now, is he a pinpoint accurate thrower? No. He's big. He's strong. He's competitive. He's mobile. He's not fast or, you know, twitchy, but he's mobile. And I think that, why wouldn't Chip want to bring him in the third round is my question. A guy that knows your verbiage, knows your system, you trust him, which is so important. Like, the relationship with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback has to be one of trust. And he trusts Will Howard. So I look at the Raiders in the third round as a strong possibility, or any other team as well. But throw out that combine, like, people love to have fun and get clicks. But if you go and watch the college football playoff tape, that 4-game run, he was flat out phenomenal. And I saw a guy who really progressed. The light came on, and he also got, he was not right after that big hit in the Michigan game. I think we all know that. And so you can throw that tape out. And so really, if you look at the last 4 games, and what he did really from the second half of the season on outside of Michigan, he was sensational.
Tom McShay from the McShay Report. Why has Tyler Shuck had so much conversation around him throughout this draft process? What are people who might not have seen a lot of Louisville missing?
I hadn't seen a lot of it going in the Senior Bowl. So I watched a little bit of him before the Senior Bowl, but not enough. Just to kind of wrap my head around it, because no one really knew he was going to be in this position. He was one of the top quarterbacks coming out in high school. Trevor Lawrence's class. You ready for this? As a freshman, he was a backup to Justin Herbert. I mean, this guy has been around a long time. He's going to be 25 years old, and you can knock him for that if you want. He has had 3 season-ending injuries, and you can knock him for that if you want. But they were all bone breaks. This is not like a chronic back or an Achilles or something that is going to be, that could linger or affect him 3-4 years down the road. I think what he's gone through has put him in a position to succeed in the NFL early if he gets an opportunity. He was carted off the field at one point. I've spent a lot of time talking to him. He thought his career was over. Like, he has a different perspective on this whole thing than everybody else. He's more mature. He knows who he is. And I used to be so caught up in, like, Jamarcus Russell, one of my first years. He can, from his knees, throw it 60 yards and hit the goalpost, and the big arms and big guys and all those things. The more I've been in this game, the more I've studied it, it's a lot of times the separator from all these really talented guys. It's quarterbacks that know themselves, comfortable in their own skin, are ready when their opportunity comes. And then you look at his skill set. Because I think from a maturity standpoint and being ready, Shuck is at the top of the list this year. I hope, I want people to understand that. I think so highly of this young man. Then you look at the physical stuff. Bigger than all the top quarterbacks. Stronger arm than as strong, like, he's in the same class as Ward with arm strength. Flick the wrist, can drive it down the field. Stronger arm than Shador. I'd say slightly stronger arm than Jackson Dart. He's got some magic in his game, can create. Under pressure, he was inconsistent, but it was also his first full year as a starter. He grew leaps and bounds with the Brohm brothers in Louisville, and they know how to develop quarterbacks. And he's also faster than every guy not named Jalen Milroe. So there's just a lot to work with there. I think a team could – he could wind up being the surprise quarterback of this entire class.
Todd McShay joining us from the McShay Report.
Todd, I love your podcast because of the stories, your stories of going to all these venues. And I think you've got to have some great ones about the craziest thing you've heard about a team just winging it on draft day. We had one in Cleveland where somebody was picking out of a magazine, at least according to one good source that we had during the
a lot of good sources
during the Lombardi banner regime. But for you, had you ever heard of any outlandish ways that a team ended up coming up with a player?
Oh man. I mean, I'll never forget the Vikings not getting their pick in time. I mean, how could you forget that? Was that Mike Tice was the head coach at that point?
Wasn't that a couple years or something? Or, excuse me, a couple of picks?
Yes. And then, like, the next year there was an issue, too.
Yeah.
That's always wild to me. I mean, the Giants situation, you know, with the kind of the ownership and the son with Madden, and then the Jets ownership. Like, the problem is with ownership, and there's plenty of very frustrating stories for the personnel people that worked with Al Davis and the Raiders, and they would literally go through 15 months of evaluating players, have their board set, and you would walk in 30 minutes before the draft and just decide on which player, and had nothing to do with any of the work that they ever did. I'll never forget Mike Lombardi telling me that he could hear the swish of Al Davis's jogger, his jogging suit that he would walk down the office, and he loves him. Like, great, you know, just he reveres him and the amount of respect and the stories he tells. But just when in April, getting close to the draft, when he would hear that swish coming down the hall, he would just start to cringe because he knew something was coming that he would then have to go explain to his entire staff. That went against everything that they had done in preparation for the draft. So there's been plenty of that, and honestly, it's almost always when ownership meddles, you know. And I think you guys can probably relate in that department there in that region.
Say we stick around, we don't move around in the third round. I mean, there's lots of things that can happen in the draft. Can we find quality at pass rusher to help out, or should we just maybe stick with a guy like Isaiah McGuire there on the other side of Myles Garrett?
No, I think there's absolutely – the intriguing part of this group is you're going to have a run in the first round, and maybe one of these guys falls out with some dings on the football character and stuff like that. But I see a very clear vision for Abdul Carter, Jalen Walker, Mike Green, Shamar Stewart, Michael Williams, James Pierce Jr., and Donovan Azaraku from Boston College, all going in the first round. So then it leaves you kind of with this dip in talent in round two. But I think in the third round, you'll probably see a couple guys in round two. Like, I think Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, Landon Jackson from Arkansas, maybe Braden Swinson from LSU, and JTT from Ohio State. But in the third round, if Femi Oladejo from UCLA is there, he's a really good player. You guys know Captain Jack Sawyer. He could be still around. Princely Umanmielen from Ole Miss. Ashton Galat from Louisville. Kyle Kennard from South Carolina. Baron Sorrell from Texas. There's a lot of guys in that third round range that maybe aren't going to be like your every down starter, but can provide something. And for most of them, it's the pass rush ability.
If the Browns don't end up with Travis Hunter, and they are probably, at least we think in Cleveland, going to draft a wide receiver fairly early, where would they be able to go, and who would even be left for them? We do know they have that 33rd pick, and you know, then the rest of their draft capital.
Yeah, I would rather draft a receiver this year in the second, third, fourth than I would in the first. And I love Matthew Golden. I'm not as high on Tet McMillan from Arizona as some people, but I see the potential. Emeka Ibuka is, you know, the more you watch of him, the more you understand his brilliance. Those are the guys I think go in the first round. Luther Burden is so darn explosive coming out of Missouri after the catch. Gets a lot of comps to Deebo Samuel, and I can kind of understand. There's some kind of typical wide receiver, prima donna, got to kind of manage with him. But, like, I don't know. In the third round, like, he gets pick 67. Jalen Noel from Iowa State is there. He's a slot receiver, but he's the best, I think the best, most crisp, polished route runner in this class. Really good after the catch. Ran a 4.39. Trey Harris, in terms of run after catch, he's coming out of Ole Miss, big physical receiver, just like a perfect fit in that, like, West Coast, quick slants, you know, those type of guys. Jalen Royals from Utah State, 4.42 speed. Torrey Horton, Colorado State, 4.41 speed. Kyle Williams from Washington, 4.40 speed. There's some guys that aren't going to be your number ones that maybe develop into a really good two or a great number three slot that you can get in round three and round four in this class that I think will provide that. And the thing is, too, with these NILs and the transfer portal and the COVID year, every position, but even at the wide receiver position, where it used to be two, you know, red shirt, then 2 years, and then come out in the draft. They started 25 games, you know. The guys are playing 40, 46, 48 games. They're ready to play in the league. And I think we've seen that in recent years, and I think you'll continue to see that this year, where if you draft a guy in the third round, he's coming in and he's contributing right away.
It is the McShay Report. Follow him on Twitter. Get the McShay Report. $4. Go get it. You're going to love it. Listen to him on The Ringer. Todd, thank you very much for the time.
I appreciate all the plugs, fellas. Good luck. It's going to be a fun one, man. I mean, you kidding me? Taking you 2, 33, 67, 94, 104. You guys have so much capital. And could you imagine, like, it sounds like it's going to be the biggest draft party in the history of the NFL draft in Cleveland this year. If you guys leave that party at the end of the first night with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, come on.
We have Journey playing in the stadium.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
Todd, you're a Browns fan. Yeah, we are looking forward to it. Thank you so much for the time.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.